Annabelle Calmer is the founder of Tea Rebellion and a trustee of Regen Tea, a UK-based foundation advancing regenerative agriculture in the tea industry. She works with origin partners across Africa and Asia and is leading a multi-country pilot focused on farm-level data and soil health. Thank you so much, Annabelle, for joining us on the Tea Biz podcast. It's Earth Day, something I personally celebrate since the very first Earth Day, which I took part in so many years ago. It's a delight to see you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and it's a pleasure to be back. And especially today, given that it's Earth Day, you know, just everything we can do to get attention to the what we're working on this particular day, which should be every day, frankly.
Annabelle, the tea industry has invested heavily in sustainability certification. What prompted you to move beyond that system and build Regen Tea?
So the origins to this are really kind of my visits to our partner farms. We now have 8 tea partners with Tea Rebellion that we work with, and visits to Malawi, Nepal, Tanzania spurred the awareness that that certificate compliance today is really a double-edged sword for many farmers because of the increasing complexity of it, the increasing cost, and the increasing kind of overburdening of the farmer with that part of the requirement, given the food system need for transparency, safety, and everything else. And so there's also the increased interest in transparency in the food system in terms of knowing where it actually comes from. And of course, we have global commitments with climate COPs, biodiversity COPs, land degradation COP, and I think they're all happening at the same time this year. So that really kind of that backdrop gave rise to the Regenerative Tea Action Project, which was the precursor of this. And then there's the technology side of it, the opportunity that is presented by farmer-centric tracking of outcomes and monitoring that really we didn't have. I think in the 70s and the 80s, this is completely new. And it presents an opportunity to change how things happen today, the status quo, I think, on this whole sustainability question, away from complicated audits to just seeing the information right on your screen with the right tools.
Regen Tea is involved into a foundation with a broader mandate. What does that structure enable?
Turned it into a foundation. We have 3 trustees, Michael Hamm from Wild Orchard, Bernardine Kay from Esther, and myself. And we're committed for 3 years to be trustees. And it's incorporated as a charitable incorporate organization, which is CIO in the UK. There's such a backlog that we're still waiting for the formal approval tick. It's been months, but everyone is in a backlog. The government is very behind in approving foundation creation in the UK. We set it up as a foundation because there was really the sense of that if we want to be make lasting change in the sector, we have to change our structure and make it more permanent. It's allowed us to really kind of move away from Tea Rebellion being the creator and it's kind of very attached to my personal brand to being something that's industry-wide and allows other tea brands to just, you know, to really shape it as well, which is important. And then it allowed us to bring on board a lot of volunteers. And I think that is easier if you have a foundation. It's very hard to justify if you have a corporate structure, even if, you know, no matter how impact focused, it really becomes odd to have that many volunteers around, I think. It's enabling us to do fundraising. We are at the early stages of that, and we have a crowdfunding campaign live today to raise the initial seed money for this foundation. But it will really help us when we are going out to donors, going out to green tech, going out to other philanthropists who want to help support and make this change happen. And then the final one is it allowed us to partner more effectively with the Regenerative Organic Alliance, which are an amazing organization really spearheading regenerative agriculture, as well as finding our technical partner, Landprint, for the DMRV, Digital Monitoring, Reporting, and Validation System that we have.
You've launched a multi-origin pilot. What are you actually measuring at the farm level?
So I think I have to say as a caveat that we're quite early in the process. We literally just signed the contract with Landprint, the tool provider. So we have 11 to 15 pilotees in this process. And I think in terms of the philosophical approach for the pilot is that it's very much farm-level data intelligence, trying to empower farmers, producing regenerative, documenting regenerative outcomes, but also data that gives agronomic resilience or information about actual farming-level data. And it's a combination of kind of basic remote information. So if you think about, you've heard of Bumitra, right? The Indian startup, amazingly successful company that's doing this for soil carbon data, basically remote monitoring of soil carbon retention and thereby paying farmers for it. So this is an expanded, conceptually, if you think about it, expanded idea of not just looking at carbon, but also looking at, so obviously carbon stock is included, soil cover, water in the soil, and crop health. That's remotely sensed through, we call it polygons. So basically, it's the footprint of a field. Yeah, so the geo dimensions, geo coordinates of a field that gets uploaded into the data system. And then the farmer has the option to enhance that with ground, kind of with ground truth or ground data, to make sure that that information actually is, well, leveled up, more intelligent, has some ground truth in it. And that's something that will enrich that remote data on in the same kind of spectrum, soil, carbon, water, biodiversity, resilience, and then also agriculture practices. So one area that is where we need to be quite focused is we need to focus the pilot in the first year on a couple of practices so that we can then walk away and say, look, what did we actually learn from these practices? Because of course, it's, you know, there's a lot going on, and it's important that we focus what we ask the farmers to change onto something that we can then actually say something about. So at the moment, it looks like everyone is very interested in looking at alternative fertilizers. So whether it's composting, whether it's liquid fertilizer, whether it's charcoal, biochar, so or whether it's nitrogen fixing plants that are intercrop or anything like that. So basically, the idea of sustaining and enhancing yields with alternative ways beyond chemical fertilizers, of course, is an area that most of the farms have said that they're interested in. So we're thinking of focusing the practices change or the practice discussion on that in the first year. But generally, in terms of like the data that we want to show, we're focusing on what practice change has a measurable ROI on the farm. That's what we want to get at the end. And what yield drop is can be expected for how long, and when will that kind of be offset by resilience in the system and better soil health.
How do you demonstrate that regenerative practices deliver real economic value?
I think it's important to help people understand that this is not a fluffy sustainability initiative, right? This is an initiative that is looking at addressing also risk factors in farming, building resilience, and increasing agronomic benefit to the grower. So it's an economic benefit. So this is not about, you know, something that you can, like, you know, a carbon neutral badge that goes on your website. It's not that level of depth. It really is something completely different. When we asked the farmers about what they're most interested in getting out of it, they said agronomic benefits, right? So higher yields, and saving costs and sustainable kind of, I'm using the S word again, but what I mean is the better production at lower costs, basically. Yeah. And so the way that we want to visualize that and show that is by working, and I think this is why we've chosen a partner that is quite in tune with the TNFD process and the risk and land degradation as to like the nature risk that's out there and the land degradation as one that people are increasingly aware of, and that also being soil degradation, because of course the farmer's main asset is the soil. So I think that is a shift in perspective and an important one. You know, if we can help farmers, if we can help document the return on investment for the farmer from doing regenerative practices by increasing their asset value of their soil, of their forest, of, you know, and the market price for their tea, then this will have been a fantastic initiative.
What does success look like if this works at scale?
We want to build the evidence base, develop funding mechanism, and build a knowledge network, right, around RegenT. So those are the three kind of, let's say, three pillars of it. And that requires us working with a lot of other parties in order to make that happen. So if you think about being able to develop something like a digital region passport that shows the information of each farm in terms of carbon, moisture, biodiversity, the practices, kind of really embody that, and the farmer owning that and sharing that with their buyers or their partners or the certifiers, those people that they trust and they want to work with. If that is the first level of kind of information sharing and transformation at the farm level, then we want to, in 10 years or 5 years time already, be at the position where we can put a revenue generation kind of pillar on top of that, which would give a farm a benefits or having created these, let's say, this asset value or this impact, these outcomes through a market. Yeah. And we call them impact units. So somehow creating, getting paid for having created impact units on the farm. And then thirdly, there is the whole kind of halfway of getting certified and also the market kicking in for actually being able to pay higher prices for an amazingly regeneratively organic grown tea. Right. That will take some time. And we are all aware that in the transition period, the market isn't quite ready to yet fully pay for this and compensate, and that the farmers need to be supported for a number of years in that transition. But that is kind of the pathway. First, the transformation at the farm level, then some impact payment, economic benefits for what's being created. And then thirdly, being certified and then the market compensating for it. And that requires us to work with a whole lot of different parties to make that happen in terms of funding mechanism, in terms of certification, ROA, as I've mentioned. But that is the aim. So if we, you know, we really want to help transform how that all works. And by 2035, that's actually, well, where are we? 2006. So that's more than 5 years. By 2035, we want to have 10,000 hectares that have transitioned under this verified regenerative process that we are working on, basically, with partners.
So how can producers and buyers get involved?
There are different ways to get involved. So let's say you are a farm and you're listening to this and you are interested in learning more about regenerative farming. You're learning, you want to see, get inspired by other farms who are already ahead of you in the journey. You want to understand how certification might work. You want to understand what the costs might be to be involved, or just broaden your horizon on this. So I invite you to join RegenT in that case. It is a free membership for the first year at least. We're building that site. If it's not live yet when you look, then it would be under T Rebellion Learn. There's a tab for people to join there. It should be a pop-up window. And then for others who want to support this change, or also farms who want to make sure RegenT becomes a sustainable organization and helps us to interim fund, we have this crowdfunding campaign, which is live right now on Earth Day. And then the aim is to raise initially 2,000, but then £5,000. And that will bridge us over until we have proper funding, help us to pay the digital technical provider and help us just IT costs. Because I think value chain partners are hugely important, and we might not have enough of them in the project right now. We have mostly buyers, you know, like more boutique retailers and farmers in there right now. And it would be probably quite helpful to have packers, importers, you know, blenders, everyone in the supply chain involved, I think.
It's Earth Day, and you're promoting the Earth. Give me a statement on why that symmetry makes sense.
If you're in doubt what Earth means to us, just go for a walk in the green. You know, just get out there, listen to birds, see the green for 10, 15 minutes, you know, get off your phone, and you'll already see what it does for you. I mean, the impact is immediate in terms of our well-being and our resilience as humans. and that's the evidence everyone needs. You just get out there, you see how important it is, because we don't want to be so abstract. I think we get huge pleasure and nourishment and enrichment from Earth or natural assets every single day. And we need to remind ourselves that that is what's at stake.
Annabelle Kalmer on RegenT. An effort to move beyond compliance and towards measurable outcomes at origin.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.